Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Lamed Tes in Shabbos. A lot of huge topics today. Over the course of today's daf, we start on the very bottom of Lamed Ches Amad Aleph, and we start now at the topic Chazara. Now, Chazara is such an important topic as it comes up to Halach Lamas every Shabbos. Not every Shabbos, but most every Shabbos. You take a food off the fire, you scoop out some of the food from the pot, and now you want to return the pot back to the fire. Right, you're serving a soup on Friday night, and you want to serve some of that soup next day. So you're serving whatever. Okay, it comes up so many different ways. So this is what's called chazara. So we already know back in the Mishnah, there's a machlokus in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says, "Hey, machzirin, no chazara. Period. Done." So again, I mentioned this many times already. Shabbos according to Beis Shammai. Can you imagine, right? How that Shabbos looks like. So, but one of the thought processes of Beis Shammai is that we don't allow chazara. Now Beis Hillel, that's who we follow. So Beis Hillel says af machzir, that you're allowed to do chazara. Now even when you're allowed to do chazara, it's a davar muskum. It's agreed to by everybody. No machlokus, not between Chananya, not between the Chachamim. There's no debate whatsoever that in order to do chazara, so the fire has to be treated. Either you do gerufa, which means that you sweep the coals to the side, or ketumah, or you lay ashes off the coal. You cannot do chazara directly on top of an open fire. Now, why not? So the Gemara never actually spells out the words. Now, the Gemara never really articulates what is the issue of chazara. So the Rishonim say that primarily the issue is mechzik hamavashel. It looks like you're cooking. I'll show you a couple of Rashi's over the course of this Gemara. That's not exactly how Rashi says it, but that's the general approach. That's the general way that's presented. It's mechzei kemavasha, looks like you're cooking, because look what's going to happen. Someone's going to walk into your house and see you put food on the fire on Shabbos. Now, they don't have the context. They don't have the background. They don't know that you took the food off the fire, and as we'll learn over the course of these next couple of minutes, Odena Biyado was in your hand, and Daita Lachzir, and you had in mind to return. In other words, all they're watching is you taking a pot of food and putting it directly on the fire. So Mechzei Kamasha looks like you're cooking. So so that's the general approach in terms of why the Chachamim made this Gzeira. So this is now Gzeira number two. Meaning Gzeira number one, which is what we've been talking now for the past 3 days, has been the Gzeira Shehiyah. Not putting food on the fire going into Shabbos. That's open for a big debate and a big question in terms of whether that's okay or not, whether you ought to do shihi or not. Okay, so that's what we've been discussing for the past 3 days. But now we move on to the topic of chazara. So here's what we know. Chazara on an open fire is for sure asr. Absolutely. Asr midrabanan. Because of the issue of mechzik and mevashel. And if the fire is grufa v'ktuma, so then you're allowed to put it on. But now, as we're going to be spending the next couple minutes going over, is even that has its own list of parameters. So we start with the Gemara Beis Hillel, Omer Maf Machzir, and Amr Rav Sheshes, L'divrei HaOmer, Machzir, Nafilu B'Shabbos. So the one who says that you could do Chazara, it means even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos? What? Meaning, isn't that what we're talking about? So please take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi in the Samud. B'Yom HaMacharas, meaning we're talking about even on Shabbos day. Meaning now what we're going to do is we're going to actually divide Shabbos into two parts, Friday night and Shabbos day. And there's more of a chiddush that you could do chazar on Shabbos day. Meaning the Gemara is going to conclude that you can, but it's more of a chiddush. Why? So again, let's continue in Rashi. Don't tell me that really the whole debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only Friday night. Because on Friday night, it's evident, we'll even say it's self-evident, that I'm taking the food off the fire on Friday night. Again, I say fire. I mean, the fire's covered. Meaning, because again, we're in the world of Chazara. So fire has to be covered. I'm taking it off the block on Friday night. I'm putting it back on Friday night. We all understand. The reason why I'm doing that is because I want it tomorrow. But on Shabbos day, continues Rashi, on Shabbos, it's not self-evident. Meaning, when I take the food off on Shabbos day, well, what am I putting it back for? Shal Shudas? I mean, the answer is maybe, but it's not self-evident. And so, therefore, I might have thought, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara, I might have thought that this idea of Chazara is only for Friday night. It's a Friday night idea, but not a Shabbos day idea. And comes the Gemara to tell us to be Mechadish, this is Rav Sheshes. Comes Rav Sheshes to be Mechadish, that you can even do Chazara on Shabbos day. Now, next words of Rashi are important, and I'll read it. Uvadla le hatmana vahava le kemat min lechatchila. You are a mevato, your original hatmana, and now you're doing hatmana for the first time. Now, I've said this before, but let me make sure that I make this point again and try to be clear about it. Meaning that when, what is all this concern of Shehiyah and Chazara? So, I mentioned this earlier. Now, the simple way to say the Gemara is that the issue with Shehiyah is if the food's not fully cooked and I put it on the fire going into Shabbos, I'm going to start tinkering with the fire. That's a simple way to say it. But I also mentioned previously, and I'm repeating right now, that that's not the way Rashi seems to be learning Shehiyah. Rashi does not think that Shehiyah is an issue of Shemechat B'gachalem, but Rashi says that Shehiyah is really a subcategory of the Matmin B'davar HaMosif Hevel. Meaning, as we've learned earlier, and we're going to repeat again today, that one of the Gzeres D'Rabbanan is that you cannot insulate food with something that will add heat even before Shabbos, going into Shabbos. This is what's called Matmin B'davar HaMosif Hevel. Rashi seems to say in the beginning of the parak, and then Rashi continues to say it again and again, and here's a Rashi that clearly states it. Rashi says that when you engage in Shehiyah, improper Shehiyah, by putting the food on top of a fire, an open fire on Shabbos, you're essentially being Matmin B'davar HaMosif Hevel. You're insulating with something that'll add heat. Now already Tosus points out in the beginning of the parak, here's a difficult time understanding Rashi, because this is not real insulation. You're not enveloping the food in something. Okay, so that's an issue. Meaning, how Rashi responds to that, I'm not sure. But Rashi consistently says throughout this perek that really Shehiyah and Chazara is an issue of Hatmana. Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel. And that's why you'll find Rashi over here saying that if you take the food off and you on Shabbos day and you put it back on the fire, it may be considered that I have broken my original hatmana, and now it's like I'm doing hatmana for the very first time on Shabbos, which we know is absolutely forbidden. Okay, that's how Rashi sets up our Gemara. That's how Rashi understands our Gemara. Either way, it comes out that you can do chazara, both on Friday night and on Shabbos day. The Gemara supports this. We're back to the Gemara, top line. Rav Oshia says Rav Machzir Nafil b'Shabbos. Rav Oshia agrees as well. Da'am Rav Oshia pa'machas ha'inu omdim le'elam Rabbi Chia Rabba. Once we were standing in front of the great Rabbi Chia, ve'alena lo kum kum shalchamim midyuta hatachon midyuta halyona. What do? We moved the pot from the second floor down to the first floor, and apparently there was a heat source on the first floor. Not necessarily. But the point is that we took it down, poured everyone their hot drinks, brought it back up, and put it back on the fire. Meaning we did chazara. Velo amar lanu davar. And nobody contested. It was fine. It was accepted. Okay. Yeah.
But it's not. That's a different category than food.
And maybe, in other words, again, Beit Shammai may make that distinction, but we're assuming we go like Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says you could do for both water and for food. So no reason to make a distinction. But you're right. In Beit Shammai, perhaps the distinction's to be made. Am Rabbi Zrika, Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Teddy, Lo Shanu Ela Sheodan Biado. Okay, and now we further qualify. Meaning, so let's get down what we know is absolute. Absolutes are to do chazara, to take food off the heat source on Shabbos and to return it to the heat source on Shabbos. So number one, the food has to be fully cooked. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Meaning, I mean, the Gemara doesn't even say it, the Gemara doesn't need to say it. If I take food that's not fully cooked and put it on the fire on Shabbos, even if the fire is covered, even if you spread ashes over the fire, you can't do that. I mean, that's cooking. So the food has to be fully cooked. Okay, that's a given, which the Gemara doesn't need to talk about. The fire needs to be covered or swept to the side, right? That's clear. That's clear already from the Mishnah. And Gemara doesn't really speak to this as well, but food needs to be still hot. Okay? Again, if the issue is that it's perceived as I'm cooking, right? It's mechzik and mavasho, so the food needs to be hot. And now, so basically, I can count it like as three givens in terms of in order to do chazara. And now, what the Gemara is going to do is speak about two other considerations, two other parameters in order to do chazara. So the Gemara says, "Lashan olosha odam biyada vahinuchan agabe karka aser." It's got to still be in your hand. In other words, when you do chazara, imagine the table here being a heat source, right? Obviously, there's a fire. Fire is covered. Okay, you get a little imagination. So I take the food off. It's got to always be in my hand. Now, always be in my hand, exactly what that means, meaning can I rest on the table while it's still in my hand? All right, you could discuss. But in other words, it's still got to be in my hand. And then, but if I put it down on the ground, that's it. I can no longer do chazara. Now, I'm Rabbi Ami Rabbi Tede de Avad Lagarme Hu de Avad. So he says when he made such a statement, he made it on his own, meaning it was a statement without any support by others. The Gemara quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan. No, I disagree. That even if it was put down on the ground, you could still put it back onto the fire. So in other words, this first condition, I say first, based on what I've presented now, it's like the fourth condition. This condition of whether it goes on the ground and it no longer is in your hand, can you do chazar with such a pot? Open for a debate in the Gemara. Pligi bar Rav Dimi v'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda v'Tavai Mishmei de Rabbi Lazar Amichad Amar Odam Biyadam Mutar Agabi Karka Aser V'Chad Amar Hinichan Agabi Karka Nami Mutar. Okay, and again Machlokas, whether or not the pot is on the floor out of your hand, are you allowed to do chazar with it? Subject to a Machlokas. Chizkia Mish Amar Chizkia Mishmei de Abai Had Amar Odam Biyadam Mutar Lo Amen Alal Shedato Lahachzer. Another parameter. When you take the pot of food off the fire, so you need what's called data lahachzer, which means, basically, it's very simple, that I'd be right before I take the food off the fire, I say to myself, I'm going to return the food on the fire. But if I do not say I'm going to return the food on the fire, so then you can't do it. So again, what are these two parameters really speaking to? Meaning, so therefore, we have now introduced two new ideas in Chazara. Number one, the pot should be in your hand. Now, the Gemara just had a debate whether that's so, meaning whether or not it's absolutely forbidden to return it. Okay? And you can take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah himself is Mekel. If you let go of the pot, assuming that you kept all the other conditions intact. But in other words, let's just speak conceptually. What's the idea over here that the food's still got to be in your hand, the pot's still got to be in your hand, and data lahachzer. And you have to have in mind to return the pot to the food. You're right. So basically, what you want this to be is a continuation. Meaning, and you could take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says a couple more times, you want this to not be a new act of placement. You want this to be a continuation from Friday. So on Friday, in other words, you put the food up, and now through Shabbos, you basically want there to be one continuous, the food is being kept warm over the fire. So if I take the pot off the fire and I let go of the pot, so now when I return to the pot, this is a new act of placement. If I don't have a mindset, when I took it off, then I'm going to put it back on again, so when I took it off, that's it. This is going to be a new act of placement. So anytime that we're going to do something that's going to break the original placement on Friday, so now you have negated, and so now it's a new act of placement, and this would be a violation of the Issur D'Rabbanan of Chazara. Back to the Gemara. Let's go back. Shedat al-Hachzer. Ava ain't dat al-Hachzer asr. Mechlal da'aga b'karka afapi shedat al-Hachzer asr. Now it sounds like over here, the way he's presenting it, is that if it's placed on the ground, even though you have intent to put it back on, it would be asr. Now, Igadama, the Gemara brings a slightly different version of this discussion. So, if you put it on the ground, but you had intent to return it, so that would be fine. Sounds like that as long as it's in your hand, even though you don't have intent to put it back, it would be mutter. Meaning, it sounds like from the Gemara that either or of this fourth and fifth condition, meaning either you have intent to put it back on at when you took it off, or you kept it in your hand the whole time. Meaning, so maybe you don't need both of these qualifications. Maybe you need either or. And nowadays, meaning the halach is we try both. We try to keep both. So if you want to engage in the act of chazar and you want to do chazar properly, so everything I said up until now, meaning food's got to be fully cooked, food's still got to be hot, the fire has to be covered, all that's a given. And then on top of that, there are two more parameters, two more conditions. Daita lahachzir, you should have in mind to return the pot to the fire. And odena biyado, and it should be in your hand. And what, now what we've now seen in the Gemara is that if you're missing one of those two, it's not so bad. If what if you're missing both? What do I mean if you don't have daita lahachzir and yet and it was on the ground and it would left your hand? Okay, so that's a that's not as straightforward. That's not as clear cut. You could see all your Shabbos farm to discuss that issue, and you could also speak to your local rabbi. Bar of Yirmiyah, Talam b'makom mahu. Okay, now the Gemara is going to end off this discussion with two questions. Good. So we now have learned the parameters of Chazara, how to do Chazara, and now the Gemara wants to know, what if I do the following? I take the food off the fire, don't put it on the ground, but let go. Okay, you got that? That's very easy. I don't put it on the ground, but I let go. Now, I know that usually what happens is something called gravity. Okay, perhaps you've heard. And usually what's going to happen is it's going to fall to the ground. But the Gemara gives a very simple solution. I hang it on a peg. So in other words, so it didn't hit the ground, but it left my hand. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the halach over there? Hinichin agabe mita mahu. Similarly, the Gemara wants to know, what if I don't put it on the ground, but I let go, i.e., I put it on the bed? Okay? Good questions. By Rav Ashi, the Gemara asks another question. Pinan mimecham lamecham mahu. What if I transfer the food to another pot? Meaning, so I take the food off, transfer it to another pot, and I put the second pot back on the fire. Maybe that's okay? Now, Rashi has not much to discuss over here in terms of what the issues are and why the question, why the Gemara left this question unresolved. The this Gemara's question over here has very real halachic application in when your cholent becomes dry, right? What happens when your cholent becomes dry? So you're going to want to add water. So there is a major discussion. This is not within the Gemara, but just I'm giving it to you in the context of our Gemara. So now what you want to do is you like to add hot water to the cholent and put the cholent back on the fire. Essentially, what we're at, I mean, there are a lot of issues over here, and in no way, shape, or form, giving any type of conclusion on the matter, but in the context of the Gemara, you understand. Meaning, essentially, what one of the issues is pina me'mecham la'mecham. What I'm doing is I'm taking hot water that's in a urn, and I'm transferring it to the cholent pot, which I took off the fire, and I'm now taking the cholent pot and putting it back on the fire. So essentially what I did is I did chazara. I took water off the heat source and putting water back on the heat source. Not on the same heat source, on a different heat source. So is that going to be okay? So part of that discussion is our Gemara over here. Meaning, am I allowed to do chazara when I'm not returning it into the same heat source, or I'm not even returning it in the same pot, but I'm returning it to a different pot? So now it's interesting because the Gemara over here answers the question with what word? Teku. Meaning Gemara says, I don't know. So I answer the, are you allowed to add water to your cholent pot? The Sfarim tend to be makel on this, but again, I'm not your halachic source. I'm the one who helps you get through the Gemara. So I'm not the person to turn to on these issues. But understand though that question of, can I rehydrate my cholent? Really, part of that question comes from this Gemara right over here. Okay, let's continue. Tanushi sikua pikash bikasha vigvava lo yitain. Beimitocha beimagabav. Okay, now we already discussed the kira. Okay, the kira is a very simple apparatus, like I've discussed already a number of times. It's essentially a box. The truth of the matter is it's rectangular. It's not a square. It's rectangular in shape. Let's say the dimensions of a kira are x by 2x. Okay, for those of you who remember your world of algebra, okay, and we're going to discuss another apparatus called the kupach. But before we get to the kupach, though, let's talk about a tanur. Now, in modern Hebrew, a tanur is an oven, so I know it's easy to get confused. But in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about tanur, it's not talking about the modern oven that we're talking about, but rather what a tanur is talking about is it basically was a trapezoid. Meaning that it was wide on the bottom, it was narrow on top, and so the walls of the tanur inclined in. Okay, and what made the tanur different halachically is that it did a much better job retaining heat. Meaning the heat was enveloped inside, and it really held the heat tight, and so therefore it was a much stronger cooking area. And so what the Mishnah is essentially telling us is that in the Tanur, you can't do anything. Tanur she'istikua pegashu v'gvava. Now this oven is being heated by straw. Do you remember what we said when it came to the kira that was heated with straw? No issues. No big deal. Put the food in, it's fine. What are we worried about? Shema yichata begachalim? You're going to stoke the coals with straw. The straw is going to burn. The straw is going to burn out. And you're over and it's finished. But because the oven is a more stronger area of heat, so therefore even when the tanner is heated with kashu gvava, no good. So tanner she'isiku begashu v'gvava lo yitem b'metoch b'ma'agabav. You can't put food. You can't put food in it. You can't put food on top of it. Okay, done. Kupach. And now we get on to the third apparatus, which is called the kupach. And what's a kupach? It's a kira. What's the difference? It's smaller and it's a square. Okay, it's a simple square box.
Single burner.
It's a single burner. Very good. Now, so by the kupach, it's kind of in between, halachically. It's in between the tanner and the kira. The kupach, if it was heated using kashuk vava, so we could treat it like a kira, which means you could put food in it. You could put food on top of it going into Shabbos, no problem. Begefes of Eitim, however, if the kupach was heated with the stronger fuels, the coals, the residue of the olives, are a katanur, so we're treated like a tanur, which means that you cannot leave food on it going into Shabbos. Gemara's first discussion, Tanur she'istikua savar Rav Yosef lemer tocha tocha mamish, agabav agabav mamish, aval esmoch shapir dami. Now, the Gemara telegraphs its punch. Rav Yosef thought that smicha would be fine. To lie, in other words, here's my kupach. Now, my cup over here, in order for this to be more like a kupach, I would have to take it and put it upside down, because then it would be wider on the bottom and narrower on top. But being that I like the coffee inside, I will not turn it upside down right now, but you understand. If this was a kupach, so Rav Yosef thinks, look, I can't put anything on top of it. I can't put anything inside of it, but perhaps smicha, to take food and put it right alongside, maybe that's okay. You remember by the kira, what do we say? By smicha? So by the kira, we said smicha is fine. So the Gemara now wants to know, what about smicha by a tanur? So we know that by a tanur, it's more chomer. Is it going to be more chamer even in terms of smicha? The Gemara discusses. The Gemara challenges. I'm sorry, Eisvei Abaye. Abaye challenges. Kupach she'isiku b'kasha v'gvav v'harei kikirayim b'gefes v'eitzim harei ketanur v'asor. Okay. Now, ha'kikir shari. Now, had we said it's like a kira, it would have been fine. Meaning, this is the Gemara's deductive logic. It's wonderful. Let's see if we could follow it. Meaning, the Mishnah didn't say it, but Lu Yitzu, had the Mishnah said that the tanner is like a kira, obviously it would have meant that the tanner is fine. Now, what does that mean? It's fine. It's fine to put on top of it, even if I didn't sweep the coals to the side. The Gemara says, "Ela kira ki ena grufa k'tuma agaba mishare." Well, you can't do that by a kira. Meaning, by a kira, that's where the coals are unswept or uncovered. You know, you're not allowed to put food on the kira. So el alav lismach. So it must be that the heter is regarding smicha. Uketani are ketanur v'aser. And the point is that it would be aser just like the oven. Amar vada barava. So the Gemara says, why did you assume all that? Hacha bekupach garufakatum v'tanur grufa ketum askinan. No, it could very well be that the oven that we're discussing, the tanur that we're discussing, is garufakatum. And perhaps the only point that the Mishnah is trying to make is that unlike a kira, where had it been garuf ekatum, it would have been fine, like we've been discussing, but the tanur, even though it's garuf ekatum, it's going to be prohibited. The Gemara supports Abaye with a braisa. If I have a tanur, which was heated b'kasha v'gvava, I cannot do smicha, period. And certainly it goes without saying I can't put food on top of it. And it goes without saying you can't put food inside of it. And it goes even further without saying, even though of course we're going to say it, that if I heat it up with gefen and eitzim, it also would be elsewhere as well. The Enos and Agabav. If I have a kupach that was heated with kash and gvava, I can put food next to it, but not on top of it. Uve Eitzim Ein Somchin Lo. And if I heated it with Eitzim, remember, what is the kupach status now that was heated with Eitzim? It's like a tanner. Amle Rav Acha Breda Rav Le Rav Ashi. A kupach echi dami. Ike kira dami afilu begefes if it's Eitzim nami. Ike tanner dami afilu bekashu vikvava nami. And the Gemara now asks a really simple question. Well, what's a kupach? Meaning, what does it look like? Amale nefish avle mi dekira vizutar avle mi detanor. So the Gemara answers very simply. A kupach is in the middle. Meaning, it doesn't have as much heat as an oven, as a tanor, but it has more heat than a kira. Hechidami kupach, hechidami kira. The Gemara now wants to know, dimensionally, what does it look like? You already know the answer to this question. I mentioned it already. I'm Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanin, a kupach makom tfisas keder achas. A kupach has a spot for one pot, meaning it's smaller in the dimensions of a square. Kira, makom svisa, shtei kederos. And a kira has enough for two kederos, meaning it's rectangular. Amar Abai v'item Rav Yirmi afa nami tanina. And he says, look, you want me to make this point even clearer? Let's learn together a Mishnah in Kalim. Now, the Mishnah in Kalim is based on the following. We all have seen this many times already. That once I have a kli and I break the kli so that it no longer has any use, it's no longer tameh. Meaning, if it were tameh, the tameh goes away. And if it weren't tameh, it's not going to become tameh because once it becomes dysfunctional, so then it's no longer a kli. Your ABCs of Kalim. Kira. If I take a kira and break it along its length, meaning crack it along into two pieces along its length, so then it becomes totally usable. Did I just say that as a word?
Unusable.
Thank you. And lerachva, however, if I break it along its width, so in other words, I crack it along its short side, tamea, it's still susceptible to tumah because essentially now what do I have? Two functional stovetops. A kupach, bein...
wall between them.
Huh? And, right, very good point. You have to assume that there's a wall between them. Right. Or you cracked it right into the thickness of the wall. Kupach, bein, la'orka, bein, la'rach, v'tahor. And the kupach, it doesn't, the length, width, it doesn't matter. Meaning because it's a square, right? Every side is X. So it's however you split it, along the length, along the width, it's going to be tahor. Okay, so again, that Mishnah and Kalim also helps us identify what the shape and structure is of the kira versus the kupach. Good. And now we start the new Mishnah.
Before you go on.
Yeah.
What was the halacha by tanur if it was the siku of the gefes
uleitzim?
Did you do grufa ketuma?
No.
Not at all.
No. Nothing. Nothing will help. In other words, the tanur can't be used on Shabbos. Right. But that doesn't affect our tanner. Our tanner is different, meaning our tanner is square. So, right, Ramosha already talks it. In other words, I mentioned this at the beginning of the parak. The challenge is going to try to be now to take all these Mishnaic ideas and translate into our modern kitchen. So Ramosha talks about how the stove in the oven nowadays is more like a kira, right? So in other words, in terms of categorization, right, our discussion becomes a kira discussion. And then there's and then obviously you have to try to figure out what's grufa for us, what's ketuma for us. Okay. I'm not. Meaning it's important. It's really important discussion, but it's too much and we're behind. And okay, right now we're just going to get comfortable with the concepts, right? Viter, as they say in Spanish. Ein nosen beitza b'tzad hamecham. Can't put an egg next to the pot. Now, an egg, why are we discussing an egg? So, first of all, eggs are delicious, as the Gemara reported yesterday. And two, eggs are easily cookable, right? They're very delicate, and they can cook, and you don't even need a very heavy fire in order to cook the eggs. So here we're describing putting an egg simply right next to the pot and cooking the egg. And the Mishnah's point is a very simple one. You can't. Don't. Ein nosen beitza b'tzad hamechan. Bishvil shin is galgel, so that it would be cooked. The word the Mishnah uses to cook an egg is nisgalgel, right? You do this, by the way, you want to see if the egg is raw or cooked, right? You spin the egg, okay? So the Mishnah talks about spinning eggs, but spinning eggs is just a simple way of saying cooking the egg. Right, well, how does it work?
If it's hard boiled, it spins real fast.
Because it has a center.
It's all solid.
Right.
Oh. The inertia of the liquid stops it from spinning.
We have a physicist here.
Okay, we have physicists in this room. We are not for lack of intelligence. And then there's me. Now, velo yefki ena besudarim. And you can't do the following. You can't crack an egg over a hot towel. Now, this hot towel, all right, it's a sudar, it's a shmata, right? You're following?
Of course.
Okay, good. Lo yifkena besudarim, you can't put it, you can't crack an egg over a shmata. Rav Yossi matar, Rav Yossi says it's mutar. Now, I'll give away some of the Gemara, there's a great discussion coming up. Meaning, this shmata, how was the shmata heated up? It was heated up under the sun. Now, we live in a very hot climate, although we are now in the wonderful part of the year, right? There are 8 good weather days here in Florida. So Shabbos yesterday, we experienced one of them. We only have 7 more to go. I'm sorry to report. But it's worth it, though. It's worth it. For those 8 days, it's worth it. But we live in a very hot climate. You can imagine, right? You go out in the middle of the summer, so everything is boiling. Go sit in your car. Right, and the hot summer, right? You're literally just baking right in your car. So here, what the Mishnah is describing is that this shmata was left out in the hot sun, and the shmata is just it's boiling. It's super hot. And what you do on Shabbos is you crack an egg on the shmata on Shabbos. Now you tell me, what do you think? It's okay or not? It's not okay. So the immediate reaction is, of course, that's not okay. You're cooking. That's bishul. And Rav Yossi says it's mutter. Rav Yossi's of the opinion that you're allowed to cook in such a manner on Shabbos. Now, that really forces us to think, why would that be okay? Isn't that a violation of the Melacha Bishul? So I'll take a moment now to explain this opinion of Rav Yossi by taking one step backwards. How about if I don't cook in the shmata that was heated by the sun, but what if I cook in the sun itself? Meaning, I take water and I basically heat the water in the sun. Sounds strange. It's called solar panels. Okay, we do that nowadays. In Israel, Dud Shemesh, super popular. Here in America, not so popular. Somebody came to my house to try to sell me some. Okay, I didn't buy it. But in other words, okay. So how about heating directly in the sun? Now, Dud Shemesh gets a little bit complicated because it's not directly from the sun. In other words, they take the sun rays, they magnify the sun rays, they direct it to the water, so it may not be exactly direct from the sun, but you get my drift. Meaning, I'm now discussing cooking directly in the sun. Did you know? According to everybody, on Shabbos, totally fine. Totally acceptable. Okay? In other words, and why should that be? So the Mishnah doesn't utter a word in terms of why it should be okay. There's a Rashi later on. I will show you the Rashi later inside. He says that's not the normal way of cooking. People don't cook in the sun. Now, what does Rashi mean by that? It's open for discussion, and I'm not ready to discuss it now. But in other words, it's
cook on
huh?
They don't cook on Shmata.
Okay, but I'm saying, but cooking in the sun, directly in the sun. So it would be fine, and Rashi says, because ein derech bishul b'kach. Those are the words of Rashi. I'll show you later inside. So it's interesting now. So it's a given. You're allowed to cook on Shabbos in the sun. And what is open now for the discussion is, good, the sun's fine. Fire's not okay. In fact, fire's a malacha. What about derivatives? What if I cook with something that was heated by the sun? Is that going to be okay? Well, if we applied logic to the situation, the logic would basically say the following. If I'm allowed to cook in the sun, I'm allowed to cook with a derivative of the sun. Okay? That's a very simple logical progression. As we're going to see over the course of the Gemara, I'm giving away some of the Gemara coming up, the Gemara is going to say no. Even though it's logical, but no. Why no? Because how do people know how the shmata was heated up? Meaning when somebody sees me cooking on a shmata that was heated, nobody knows what the heat source was. So the prevailing opinion is, which is the Chachamim's opinion here in the Mishnah, and the Gemara will articulate this, is that told us chama is aser, gzera atu told us haor. Because people don't know how the shmata was heated up, whether by the sun or by an oven. Maybe I put the shmata right over my oven and I took it off. So because people don't know how it was heated up, if I cook with a shmata that was heated by the sun, the casual observer will say, oh, it must be okay if I heat the shmata in the oven and then cook on top of the shmata over there. Good. Or if you don't like the idea of shmata, in other words, how about a pan? We'll make it nice and simple. I'll take the pan, I'll put it in the oven, I'll get the pan nice and hot, I'll take the pan out, and I'll put the egg on top of the pan. That's categorically usur. But again, though, the one who sees me with that hot pan didn't know that I heated up my pan by the sun. And so they'll get confused, and so therefore, told us achama, according to most opinions, is usur. Now, according to most opinions, who disagrees? Rabbi Yossi. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's see all this inside. All right, the Mishnah says, "V'lo yifke ena b'sudarim." Don't crack an egg on the shmata. Shmata that was heated by the sun. Rabbi Yossi matir. Okay, there you see it inside. Rabbi Yossi says that told us a chama is mutter. "V'lo yed mina b'chol va'avak derachim eshur shetitzla." And you can't take an egg and bury it in the ground in order so that it should cook in the ground. Now, at this point in the Mishnah, the following question should pop into your head. Where's Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi allowed you to cook the egg on the Shmata. Shouldn't he be allowing you to roll the egg in the ground? Meaning, how'd the ground get heated up? By the sun.
But isn't that a derivative of it's a derivative of the sun, right?
Good, but Rav Yossi's okay with derivatives. Yeah, Rav Yossi's fine with sun derivative.
Some derivative.
Right. So over here, so where's Rav Yossi? Not my question, the Gemara's question. Stay tuned. Maisa Shas Manshe Tveria. Okay, and now we get to the sewer system, not the sewer system, but the waterworks of Tveria. Okay, how does water work in Tveria? Fascinating. So first of all, in Tveria, the hot springs. Okay, anyone visit?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, if you haven't, please, make it a point, if possible. So go to the hot springs of Tveria, and the natural hot springs of Tveria. And so what the people in Tveria did is the following. Ingenious. So they took a cold pipe of water and they piped it into the hot water in Tveria. Essentially, they cooked water. Now, the question becomes a very important question. Those hot springs of Tveria, so how do they get hot? How did they get?
Volcanic.
Oh, okay. Well, such a modern person. Okay, so the Gemara itself is not clear about how the hot springs become hot. Stay tuned later on. The Gemara will have that discussion. But let's just assume for now that the hot springs, it's not told us ha'or. Okay? It's not a fire. Let's assume right now that it's solar heat. Now, I know it may not be, what I'm saying may not be scientifically correct, but just, in other words, just to understand and process the Mishnah, let's say that's so. So now, essentially, what am I doing? Is that I'm taking cold water, I'm piping it into hot water, water that was heated not by fire, but by sun. And so what is the Mishnah telling us? Well, watch what the Mishnah is telling us. Don't do it. The Chachamim stepped in and said to the Anshei Tveria, you cannot do it. And if you did that on Shabbos, that's going to be treated like water that was cooked on Shabbos. And you can't bathe in the water, and you can't drink the water that was heated on Shabbos. And had this been Yantiv, so it's going to be treated like water which is heated on Yantiv, which is Aser Berechitza. You can't bathe in such water. Water that was heated on Yantiv, you cannot bathe in. Umutter b'shtia, but you're allowed to drink water that was heated on Yantiv. Of course, because cooking on Yantiv is mutter.
Is that drinkable? Or is it
cupcake? Oh, so it's right. So it's a bit of a discussion. Meaning, what exactly were they manipulating? Meaning, they were only manipulating the cold water. They were adding the cold water to the hot water. It's not clear. In other words, and even the Rishonim are not clear about exactly what's happening over here.
It's like their tap water. It's just a pipe.
Okay. Again, it's not clear. But for the time being, though, for our purposes, though, our primary interest is that the cold water was heated on Shabbos. It was cooked on Shabbos.
So the Chamei Tveria is considered
It's told us Chama. Let's call it now told us Chama. Although, as you'll see later on, that's debatable. But for our purposes, let's just call it told us Chama. E Bailu Gal Gamai. Now the Gemara starts off with a really easy question. Okay, so we start off easy. Let's say I cook an egg on Shabbos. Okay. In fact, it's such an easy question. Like, you look at the Gemara and you're like, what's the Gemara even asking? Meaning, I cook an egg on Shabbos. But essentially, what the Gemara is asking is the following. It's, in other words, obviously, if I cook an egg on Shabbos, I violate the Malacha Bishul. I think we can all agree. As much debate as we're going to be having, you know, over the course of the Masechta, but that's kind of a no-brainer. What the Gemara is essentially asking is that I cook about in this roundabout way. Meaning, remember the first line of the Mishnah? I took the egg and I put it to the side of the pot. So in other words, I didn't give it direct heat. I cooked it through indirect heat. Is that cooking? And the Gemara couldn't give a more simpler and straightforward answer. I'm Rav Yosef, Gagal Chayv Chatas. Yeah, you bet that's cooking. Meaning once now you've changed the nature of the egg. It's now no longer liquid. You've now hard-boiled it, soft-boiled it, whatever, however you want to describe it. But you cooked it even with this indirect heat. That's bishul. That's cooking. And with no dilution, meaning chayev chatas, it's an issa d'oraisa. Amar Marbere d'Ravina Fadnami Tanina, he says, agreed. And not only agreed, it's a Mishnah. Kol sheba b'chamim lefnei Shabbos, sheino osa b'chamim b'Shabbos. This is what Rebbe was talking about yesterday. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos, you can reheat it on Shabbos. What do we know that as? Ein bishul, acher bishul. But if it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, so if you want to rinse it, so that you can do. Except for these foods. Now, what foods are we talking about? Salted fish, small fish, little fish, herring. Okay, I'll speak in modern parlance. So, shadachtan zui gemar malachtan, where a simple rinsing of these is its final malacha. Meaning what the Mishnah is teaching us, this Mishnah is much later on in the Masechta, but this Mishnah is teaching us is that if you have delicate foods, right, in the world of halacha it's called kale habishal. If you have delicate foods, even the small application of heat, even a simple rinsing meaning that I'm not cooking it in the pot that's on the fire, I'm not even cooking it in the pot that's on the that's off the fire. Taken off the fire. What I'm doing is that it's irui. I'm just pouring the hot water from the pot, which we know has a diminished heat potency. Nevertheless, if these are delicate foods, if they're kali abishal, so then it's cooking, absolute. It's a violation of Malacha and Shabbos. And the Gemara translates it back to now the story of the egg. The story of the egg is that I didn't take the egg, I didn't put the egg in the pot. All I did is I put the egg next to the pot. And so all I did was give it a little bit of indirect heat. It doesn't matter. Once the egg has changed, so now it's an act of cooking. So essentially now, in terms of our definition of cooking, we're now giving more parameters, a wider berth, so to say, to what the definition of cooking is. Cooking is not just the simple putting it in a pot that's on the fire. No. Cooking is anytime I take a food and transform the food, so now that's going to be considered an act of cooking. Correct. In other words, right. Right. Once we're expanding the parameters now, so yes, and now you could talk in terms of other acts as well. But, pickling he's talking about.
But except for the sun, you could put the egg in the sun. And
right. In other words, right. And that brings us now to sun talk. Lo yifkenu b'sudarim. Ha did not know sin tavshul toch habor b'shul shiei. Shamor v'samayim ha'yafim b'ram b'shul shiei. Tzanenu v'satzonim b'chama b'shul shiei chamu. So leimah Rav Yosi v'lo Rabban. So the Gemara says, look, again, we go to a Mishnah that's much later on the Masechta, but the Mishnah says that if I want to put water directly under the sun, so the Mishnah says you could do that. Now, the Gemara is really bothered. That Mishnah later on, which is an anonymous Mishnah, that's Rav Yosi. Meaning that Mishnah over there, totally anonymous, which we presume to be accepted halacha. But now you're telling me that's only Rav Yosi, and the Chachamim disagree? I'm Rav Nachman, here you see it inside. Bichama dekuleham lo pligi deshari. Look, I cook something directly under the sun, that's permissible, according to everybody. And so this is Bishul Bichama, cooking under the sun on Shabbos is mutter. Right. And here's Rashi. And Rashi says, I'm sorry, let me find it. Deshare. Ain, right, it's the first four words of Rashi. Ain derech bishul bekach, because that's not the way people cook. Now again, right, after daf, you want to sit and talk about it? That's fine. What does Rashi mean by that? Meaning it's a shinui? Is that what Rashi's saying? It's hard to imagine because we know in Shinuyim on Shabbos, it's still Asur Midrabanan.
It's like Ein Derech Achila.
Right. It's right. It's right. In other words, right. It totally upsets the. It's not at all conforming to the definition of Bishul B'Shabbos. Not that I know how to define it now, because essentially we're saying cooking in the sun is outside of the fold. That's not cooking at all, and you can do so on Shabbos. You can heat water in sun on Shabbos. B'toldas or kol amalo pligi dasar. Now a derivative of fire, according to everybody, that's usher. I take a pan, I put the pan in the oven, and the pan's now nice and hot. And I take the pan out and I cook on top of the pan, that's usher. L'chulei alma, according to everybody. Ki pligi b'toldas achama. The area of disagreement is going to be toldas achama, where I have something that was heated by the sun. Marsa v'gazina toldas achama to toldas or. So one opinion, which is the chachamim here, is that I can't cook on top of the towel that was heated in the sun. Cracking an egg over the towel is asur, albeit midrabanan, but it's asur. And Masav Logazrin and Rav Yossi says, no, that's fine. That's the machlokas here in our Mishnah.
So to cook in the sun, you'd have to just put an egg out.
I think about this all the time. Correct. Meaning, if you put the egg in the pan in the sun, that's tolda. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. But if I put, in other words, you got to basically either hold it up with like tweezers or, in other words, somehow you got to put it directly over the sun.
Can't you put it in the pan? Oh. I mean, you're still cooking in the sun.
It's well, like if you put the pan, I guess you got to figure out now whether that, right, what's, where's, you got to figure out what's cooking. Is the sun cooking or the pan cooking? If the sun is cooking, I agree with you. Then that would be okay. But you got to figure out. And that's, by the way, where the controversy of the solar panels are. Because the solar panels, you got to speak to people who know, which is not me. But in other words, the solar panels, what's doing the cooking? Is it the direct sunlight that's doing the cooking, or is it the reflection of that sun and the amplification of the sun that's being provided by the panels themselves? So again, that's what you have to figure out.
You can hang it on the thread.
Right.
So if you put it on a shmata that wasn't heated, it's okay?
Yeah, but then it's not going to cook. Then it'll just be an egg on a shmata.
No, but it's exposed to the sun.
Oh, and then exposed to the sun. So again, so that goes back to then what's going to be doing the cooking. Is it the sun or is it going to be the heated shmata? So, and again, you got to really speak to people who know.
No, but what about my dying? You know, somebody's seeing that.
Well, if it's still under the sun right now, then there's no mara sign. Mm-hmm. The lo yatminenu bechol. Next part of the Mishnah. You can't bury the egg in the ground. Now, as I mentioned already when we learned the Mishnah, but here the Gemara now repeats, doesn't repeat. But the Gemara spells out the question, v'leflug nami rav yosi baha. Such a good question, such a simple question. You're cooking an egg now in buried sand. That's toldas chama. Rav Yossi should be, at that point in the Mishnah, piping up and saying, hey, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Hey, you can do that. Yeah. Right. It's toldas chama. It should be okay. Where's Rav Yossi at that part of the Mishnah? So, obviously, at this point in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi agrees. And the question is a very simple one. Why does he agree? Why does Rav Yossi agree over here that it would be usher? Two explanations of the Gemara. Rav Amar Gzer Shemayatman Beremetz. Well, Rav says, I'll tell you what the concern is that it could be that I will, instead of burying it in sand, which is a davar she'eino mosif hevel, I'll bury it in coals, which is a davar mosif hevel. In other words, we come back to hatmana. Right? It's like we just keep coming back to hatmana again and again and again. So the gzer is that maybe I'll end up doing hatmana with something which is mosif hevel, which we know is asur. On Shabbos it's asur, ben hashmashos it's asur, before Shabbos it's asur, it's asur. Hatmana b'davar hamosif hevel is always going to be asur. Rav Yosef Amrim Nimnesha Maziz Afar Mimkama. Now Rav Yosef says, because you will move dirt, you'll end up moving dirt. Now, here, a lot of discussion on this line of the Gemara, both by Rashi and by Tosfos. We'll end with this. What's the concern you may move dirt? So the simple explanation of the Gemara, which is not Rashi, which is Tosfos, is dirt on Shabbos is muksa. And so eventually what you're going to end up doing on Shabbos, in order to put the egg into the dirt, is that you'll be violating the Isser of Muksa.
But is it Melchim Nachshava? Is that you're in Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed.
But you're getting too complex, and you're getting to Rashi. But before getting to Rashi, I know I'm working backwards, but before getting to Rashi, you're moving dirt. Dirt is muksa on Shabbos. So, and that's the way Tosfos understands the Gemara's concern, is that you will be moving dirt. Mim neisha meizes offer mim kamam. So that's how Tosfos understands
it. You don't do it by hand, even though you're just pushing it down.
Yeah, so this is right. Good, good, very good point. So Tosfos addresses this. This is what's called tiltum anatzad. Meaning I'm not moving it directly with my hand, I'm moving it, you know, through the egg. And so what we'll have to say over here in order to support Tosfos' answer is that whoever this is in the Gemara, this is Rabbo, tiltum anatzad would be Aser. Okay, very good point. And then we get back to Rashi. Now Rashi over here makes one important change in the girsa of the Gemara. Meaning the way, if you read our Gemara, the Gemara says, Mimnei Shemaz is offer. If you look at Rashi, just a different maskal of Rashi. Shema Yaziz offer. You may move the dirt. And then I read Rashi inside. Shema lo yesham chol akor lechol hatzarech ve'asi la'azuze offer hadavuk ve'haveg chofer guma. So Rashi says, what's the problem? The problem is that in order to get that egg into the ground, you may have to dig a little bit more. And if you're going to have to dig a little bit more, what are you doing now on Shabbos? The malacha of chofer. Or the Mishnah will call later on, choresh. You're digging all the ground, you're plowing in the ground. And you're violating the malacha on Shabbos of choresh.
It's like insulation, like turtle eggs.
Well, before, in other words, it's not an insulation issue. It's an issue of you're digging a hole in the ground. That's a malacha in of itself. What's the problem with Rashi's pshat? And anyone could think offhand? What's the issue? Why are you digging a hole in the ground?
Your intent.
Okay, in other words, right. Right. Digging a hole in the ground is a malacha if and when you want the hole. Right? If, however, over here... Well, this is not a davar shena miskaven. That's not that. In other words, here you know you're digging. Mm-hmm. Your intent is to dig, but your intent is to dig in order to create a hole. Over here, you're digging a hole or you're digging up dirt in order to get some of the dirt. This is what's called a malacha she'enis riecha lagufa. And so, therefore, when you see Tosfos inside, now you could take a little. Right, we'll finish with this. With Tosfos inside, v'kasha l'riva, the Tosfos of Mimnei Shemaz is offer mimkomo. After quoting Rashi, right, four lines down, v'kasha l'riva dahalek isur daraisa bechofer guma ve'inat sarach ela la'afra. I'm digging the dirt, and all I want is the dirt to throw over the egg. What's the problem with that? That's a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. And the Rabbi Shimon d'amar malacha shein tzrich l'gufa pater aleha. And Rabbi Shimon, which is the accepted halacha. Now, I mentioned a number of times already, the Rambam holds the malacha shein tzrich l'gufa tzchayev, but we're learning Tosfos right now. Tosfos agrees with Rabbi Shimon, sides with Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, we're only talking now about Issa d'Rabbanan, pater aleha. So v'tzarech lamar lefi perish akunshus, gzir shem yachbar aguma, litmon abetza b'socha. So what you have to say, according to Rashi, is that I'm not digging the dirt, the hole, in order for the dirt. What I'm doing, according to Rashi, is I'm digging the hole so that I get a wider hole in the ground, so I put the egg in the ground. That's a malacha, hatzricha lagufa, and that's the proper way to understand Rashi, says Tosfos. So again, over here now in the Gemara, again, let me just organize, and then we'll have to stop for today. The next line in the Mishnah is, you're not allowed to put an egg in the ground on Shabbos. Why? Because it's being cooked by the sun. So now we understand the Chachamim. This is told us a Chama, a derivative of the sun, that's Aser. Why, according to Rav Yossi, is it also Aser? Because remember, we learned a couple lines ago in the Gemara, Rav Yossi is okay with derivative of the sun. Told us a Chama is fine, according to Rav Yossi. So why here does he say it's Aser? So the Gemara has proposed two answers. Answer number one of the Gemara is Rav answers because of Hatmana. If I do this, the next step will be I will insulate it in something that adds heat, which is Hatmana, B'davar HaMosif Hevel, which is Aser. The other answer of the Gemara is the answer of Rav Yosef, which is, well, if Rav Yosef would allow me to put the egg into the ground, I may, according to Rashi, have to dig more hole in the ground, which is a malacha of Chofer, or according to Tosfos, I'm going to end up moving dirt, which is a violation of the Isser of Muktzah.
Okay. So if you put it on top of the ground itself without digging,
it would seem like it's okay. That's how it would seem. But again, it goes back to what's doing the cooking, the sun or the ground. Okay. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.